I hope your day is full of Christmas trees and wreaths and the roar of a fire and Santa Clauses and Mrs. Clauses and gingerbread and sugar plums and Christmas stockings and pine trees and Christmas lights and tinsel. You gotta have tinsel. Let's get into it, guys. Hi, it's me, Shank. Welcome back to another episode of Shank. Today's guest is the one, the only, Sam Tripoli. But before we get into this week's episode of Shank with Sam Tripoli, there's just a few things I have to tell you about. First, get some damn socks. Oh, yeah. If you're like me, you go through socks fast. You lose them. All of a sudden, you no longer have pairs. You just have one sad sock looking at you for its long-lost partner. It's time to buy, you know, it's time to level up. Expand your sock drawer. Ohyeahsocks.com. That's 3 O's, H-Y-E-A-H.com. Discount code Sarah 10. That's S-A-R-A 10. They make amazing gifts. Whether you're into slippers or socks, there's something for you. I have so many fun slippers. I have bear slippers. I have red panda slippers. I got crocodile slippers. All at Oh Yeah. And they make amazing gifts and they last a long time. So I can't recommend them enough. Also, a gentle reminder, Kim Congdon and I are coming to the Brea Improv a week from today. That's December 27th. Buy tickets now. Josh Potter is featuring. It's going to be a really fun show. And then January 14th, we're doing This Bitch and Friends in the main room of the Comedy Store. Come out. Get tickets. Last time we sold out, it's a fire lineup. It's Ryan Sickler, Lisa Traeger, Jetski Johnson, Damon Wayans, Trevor Wallace, Kim, and I. And yeah, we'll probably sell that out. So get tickets sooner rather than later on that. And let's get into this week's episode. Oh, also subscribe to my Patreon, patreon.com/SarahWineShank. And let's get into this week's episode of Shank with the one, the only, comedian Sam Tripoli. Here it is, guys.
My studio is on Melrose.
It is?
Yeah, it was so funny. They had a giant, like, BLM, like, riot on the street during that shit. And the only reason they didn't touch, because I'm in a church. And they just, I guess they didn't want to piss off God or something like that.
That's where they draw the line.
Yeah. So where have you been?
Austin a lot.
Yeah, how's that going?
It's fun. I was in Austin a lot. And then when I'm in town, I only just go to the store if I have spots.
Yeah.
Because I'm fucking tired.
Yeah, it's getting, comedy sucks in LA.
It's not fun.
It's not. It's like,
It used to be.
But
that's,
I feel,
what's
like
fucked up.
That's what Austin is right now.
I know.
It's like where the fun is.
I know.
Just everybody's so young there. That's my only problem.
And but Austin is fun for like a week.
Yes. And then you got to
get
out.
I'm like, I got to get out of Austin because I'm
and
in
you
Austin.
And then you come to LA and you're like, oh, I'm back. And then you're like, what am I doing?
And then you're like, I should go back to Austin.
Yeah.
And then you go there and you're like,
maybe New York City, but it's too cold.
Yeah. It's weird.
It is weird.
It's
I
like
enjoy
being at the store after the party.
Because there's not a lot of spots at the mothership, right? It's like two rooms, and the main room is like a headline room, and they bring their people, right?
Yeah.
And then you have like, what, five spots in the small room, two shows.
Yeah.
And if so, it doesn't seem like a lot of spots there.
There's not
a lot of spots there.
There's not a lot of spots, but if you've been doing it longer than like, because a lot of the people that work there are like newer.
Yeah.
And they're just,
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I wonder if he would give me a weekend in the big room. I'd like to try that. Anyways.
The big room's sick.
We are here. Hi.
Hi, are we ready? We're recording?
Yeah, we're recording.
What are we going to talk about?
We're not talking about conspiracies.
Thank you.
You said it in the hallway of the Comedy Store.
I'm just so over it.
You said only one conspiracy that I can save for the end.
Yes.
And I only know one from
you,
TikTok.
I'm old now,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So it's like,
you're not that old.
I'm 51.
That's not that old.
It's not that old. It's like a different 51 than I think my parents' 51.
Yeah.
Like they gave up. Like now I'm doing like jujitsu and yoga. And
just
trying not to, because I have kids and they're like 3 and a half. So, which is great. But it's also then they have to deal with an old dad later on in their life. And my whole goal is not to have them, you know, have to take care of me and stuff like that. Like not change my diaper or anything. Like that is like a real goal in my life right now.
That's a nice goal.
So I'm trying to stretch all the time so I can stay mobile and all that stuff. But I'm basically out of everything. But I've been watching a lot of what I call black YouTube.
Okay.
Which is, you know how they have black Twitter? Well, there's a section called black, and it's just black content creators.
Okay.
And they really, black guys love talking about dating.
Okay.
And I've been watching a lot of their videos, and I wanted to, because you're younger, obviously, much younger.
Okay.
Do you have a boyfriend?
I'm dating.
Okay. Is dating like, based on these videos, dating seems completely foobar right now, like really fucked up.
It's completely fucked up.
It seems really
not fun.
And why? Why do you think it's messed up?
The guys that I've been dating, I have a pattern of dating emotionally unavailable men.
But do you think there are emotionally available men?
That's the question.
Are there?
I have yet to find them. Yeah. It just feels like everyone's a little bit stunted.
Well, I feel like there's this thing about it's called women talling almost. It's not about actual height. It's about the fact that, like, because of feminism, the amount of money they're making has gone up, but there's still natural drive to date somebody who makes more money than them.
Uh-huh.
It's getting harder and harder.
Right. The money thing's not really an issue for me.
Okay.
I'm not really, it's more about like the ability for them to show up consistently.
Yeah. It's gotta be hard, right?
It's hard. And then my schedule is fucked up. Cause I'm like, I'm leaving. I'm going to Austin for 10 days. Mommy's on the road again.
And then they get angry about that? They don't get angry,
but it's hard to, it's hard to bond, especially if it's a new bond.
It's just super interesting.
It's hard.
It seems so much simpler when I was younger.
Are you dating?
No, I have a girlfriend for like 20 years.
Long
girlfriend. It's like, it's perfect. It's just,
yeah.
We just accept each other's deficiencies and we're okay with it, which I think is a big thing that if anyone goes, hey, what advice can I give you about dating? It's just like, give up. One is like, when you date somebody, give up, especially if you're a guy. Do you have a girlfriend?
No.
Do you want a girlfriend?
No, not right now.
Yeah, I get that. But when you do want a girlfriend and you really want to say, give up. Like, that is the best advice I can give a man about dating. Just don't care. Here's how I
like
got
give blood. Up on myself or give
no
up
no
on
no
what?
Give up on like
chasing.
Well, ever Pussy? Well, give up on just like thinking that you're gonna call the shots. It's better just to go with the flow, and then when something really matters to you, then you put your foot down, and then it should be understood that like, I don't really care, but when I care, we gotta listen to daddy. That's my biggest thing. What do you want to eat? I don't care. What do you want? Movie do you want to watch? I don't care. How do you want me to dress? I don't care. But it's like, hey, we're gonna go to this guy's house. I don't want to go to that house. We're not going to that house. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
That is the best
way.
Like,
pick your battles.
100%. Men have to, in a relationship, they have to pick their battles.
But don't you think women do too?
I think they should. I don't know if they necessarily do.
Because there's a lot of like nagging that I'm seeing.
From guys?
From women.
100%.
It was like, you said you were going to do that thing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like, that's so fucking annoying.
I also wonder that like, as much as pornography has ruined men to a point, I also think like has like romantic comedies ruined women. Like the expectation of what is love.
Well, also porn has ruined women too.
Do you know that they did a study that like women are now like Googling the most like violent pornography?
Yeah, because we're like watching the most violent pornography.
Which is this crazy ass thing that like, there's this thing in society where like, the more powerful you get, the more you're into being cucked. You talk to anybody into like BDSM and stuff,
yeah,
like they'll tell you their biggest clients are like CEOs.
Yeah, who want to be like, tied up.
So then 100%. Yeah. Right? It's like really like degrading.
Yeah.
So now as women move their way up into the ranks of the, you know, business,
they want to be walked like a dog.
Yeah, isn't it weird?
It is weird.
It is so weird. And then we have this whole thing with this, and I don't, I hope it doesn't get uncomfortable, but there's some like this Me Too movement. Like, so, like, a bunch of my friends got Me Too'd, and it was really hard to watch, and it's very traumatizing.
Right.
Like, even if I was like single suddenly, I don't know how I could date.
But a lot of men feel that way. A lot of men that I've talked to who have done nothing wrong feel the same way.
Yeah.
They're like, if I have any type of following or anything to lose, 100%. And I don't feel a connection with somebody.
Yeah.
If I just don't feel a connection with someone, are they going to cancel me because I don't feel a connection
100%.
With them? 100%. Because I'm seeing that bitches trying to do that to some of my friends.
Yeah. Okay. So again, I'm watching all these like black YouTube videos, right? And so they're talking also about, as women get taller, right? Not physically, but in business and finance, their desires don't change in the man. So you have like studies have shown that like 100% of women think like 80% of men are ugly, not just unattractive, but like ugly, right?
Really?
So that means that like women, like almost all women are fighting over the same 20% of men.
That makes sense. Because let me tell you, how many crossovers there's been? Well, like going on a date with someone, everyone I know has been on a date with him already.
Yes.
And like, I'm like, oh, fuck, do you know him? Yeah, he did the same thing to me. It's like that on Raya.
Which is a part of this kind of thing that I think happens to these famous guys, where like the Me Too movement is somewhat like weaponized regret, right? Like you, let's say you really like this guy, but he's one of that 20% and everyone's throwing their hat at it.
Yeah.
And he's trying to grab all the hats, right? Just to be a nice guy. And
then Yeah.
And then you realize
a horny nice guy.
Yeah. That you know, like you want to date this guy, but maybe you hook up. But then you don't get the date.
You don't get what you think you want out of it.
Then you get angry about it.
Then you get angry.
Right?
Then you get angry. And there are some girls who do get angry.
Yes.
And then it makes the Me Too movement less potent, because it's hard to believe all women if some women are weaponizing the Me Too
100%.
Movement. Yeah. No, I get what you're saying.
So I remember when the Me Too movement was going really powerful, and I was doing a show at, did you ever do Nerd Comics or whatever that was?
Yeah, Meltdown.
Meltdown? Like, I didn't do it forever, and everyone's like, all these TV shows are coming out of there.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
This dojo is so powerful, man.
Yeah,
and then I go there, like, it's like,
a
I go there,
bookstore.
And it's like three rows of lawn furniture.
I'm like,
every show on Adult Swim is coming out of this place, right?
Yeah.
So I end up showing up there, and like, it's somehow it's like in the heart of the Me Too movement. I'm doing a Joni Mitchell show, and he brings on a lady who later on, like, we talked, and we're like really cool now. Like, but at that time we were going at it about Me Too, right? And she's like, I just don't want to work in a place where I'm getting sexually harassed. I'm like, it's not happening. This is all in your head. And she storms off. And then I look at the crowd and I go, I see a lot of couples here, right? If you're okay with this, and some of you guys are going to get married, some of you guys are going to have kids. And some of those kids are going to be boys. And what you're creating right now is an environment where men walk into everything with two strikes against them all the time, automatically. And they just happen to meet the one crazy, and then now their career's done because they just made an accusation, if we believe all women all the time, that he's done. Stick a fork in him.
Yeah.
Nothing happened. So the whole point of that rant is like the believe all women thing is super dangerous, but I don't think it will ever go away, because there is a part of like that is like this belief that women are told that they're like they're powerless in society and all this stuff, and like this is their one like power play.
Well, don't you think maybe it'll kind of just even out, because like the Me Too movement was so like extreme, maybe the pendulum will kind of just come back to the middle.
I hope so, but
it's not sustainable to villainize the opposite sex for our society.
Yeah.
Like if we hate men. And then that in turn makes men afraid of us.
Which I think they are.
I think men are now, I do think men are afraid of some women too now.
Because like if you, let's say you hit on somebody and you're not very good at it, that could be spun into like harassment.
Right.
Whereas,
but then
like,
it's also like, then women are like, no one's hitting on me.
What? Huh? I mean,
and
I go
like,
on the road.
Because everyone's afraid.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's super interesting. But again, then if we get into that 100% of the women find 80% of the men ugly, and now you're all fighting over 20%, they can't date everybody, and then you get into this weaponization.
But don't you think that men find 80% of women ugly, and there's also 20% of women? Like, there's top men and there's top women. But the high-value men and high-value women that everyone wants to date.
But I've never heard that on Black YouTube.
Okay, okay.
They've never mentioned that. They never mentioned that data says that most men find most women unattractive. I think it's the exact opposite. I think most men
find women ugly.
I think the one thing I've noticed, like, I've been blessed to have a following, right?
Mm-hmm.
Through my podcast. And I've noticed that the people who tend to come up and talk to me a lot of them are nice, but there's also some crazies, right?
yeah.
And you want to be very nice to everybody because they're your fans. You're like, oh, thank you. And then it's like, you know, it's like, let's storm the Capitol together. Yeah. And like, oh, okay, that's not my thing, right? Yeah. But I'm sure with super hot women, right, you guys get hit on. And it's like the guys, because men will tend to hit on women they think are on their level. But crazy guys will take a shot at the hottest of hot.
There's crazy guys.
Right?
There's like actual nutcases.
Yeah, and that's why women are like, oh, I can't meet anybody. Nobody, and because it's all crazy people hitting on.
Yeah.
Because men very much are just, because you ever meet a woman who like hit on a guy one time and it didn't go well and she just is shocked? She's like, oh my God, he like did, what is God? And then what do they always say? He's got to be gay. That's got to be it, right? Like I asked him out. He said, no, he's got to be gay, right? But that's guys every time. Every time we are like, am I worth it? And you're like, no. And you're like,
is it
and
really
we just
like
have to
that?
Move on.
Is it really
you just
like
have to move
that?
On. Like, we are a volume, right? It's like, nah. And you're like, volume. That's
is
what,
it really like that?
Yes, because we are walking up to you and hitting on you, and you are going yay or nay. And
that's
we get
true.
A lot of nays.
That's
and
true.
Like, you can't take it. Some obviously guys get very angry.
Right.
And like, hey, what, who the fuck are you? You know, and they go nuts. But for the most part, guys are just like, okay, got to keep moving.
Damn.
It is rough.
I guess that's true because I'm not going to ask a guy out. I wait for them to ask me out.
Yeah.
And then if it's someone I don't want to ask me out, that's a nightmare.
That's the worst. I learned this a long time ago, dude. They're either into you or they're not, and just keep moving. Because when I was young and still attractive, you know, I would have people.
You're still attractive.
I know, but I was really cute when I was young. But the whole point is that, you know, if you're not into somebody, you're just not into somebody.
That's true.
And I just say keep moving.
Because it's easy to hang on.
Right. Well, this is a big thing, too, that I've been watching on these dating shows is like women are 70% of divorces. They make the decision 70% of divorces, right?
I believe that.
And what women don't understand, and this is really true, men will stay in relationships for years that they're not happy in because they don't want to hurt a woman's feelings.
Oh, that's
they do
so
it
dark.
All the time. Like, a woman's tears are so fucking powerful. And then I was
that's
in a...
That's true.
I had a relationship, uh-huh. And I was miserable in it. And then one day, she's like, I don't want to date you anymore. And I cried for, like, I was, like, so sad. Even though I didn't want to be in it anymore, I was like... And I remember going to Lord of the Rings, and I'm just crying the whole movie. And everyone's like, he must really love this movie. It's
movie. No, you're sobbing him in a breakup.
I was crying. I didn't even want to be in the relationship anymore.
Is it an ego thing? An attachment thing? An ego thing?
Well, why guys stay around or why I cried
why
after?
You cried?
I think there was, like... Yeah, it was, like... it's, like... It is a statement on my worth, I guess, at that point. And and then maybe it's also that, oh, she got me before I could get her, almost in a weird way as well. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, I should have pulled the plug first. I had my hand on it for years.
Yeah. But guys will stay in a relationship a long time. But going back to like this whole Me Too thing, it's like, and by the way, I'm driving this conversation. If you want to talk about something else, tell me. But
okay.
I'm interested in hearing your opinion. So we see a lot of our guys who I'm friends with get me too. And I think most of them, if not all of them, were just based off no evidence and just this kind of movement at the time. And you know, one of them, I remember, I'm not going to say his name, but this woman came out and she's like, I went to see him at a show at this hotel, and I got a hotel room, and he came up to my hotel room and he told me to get on my knees and blow him. What is the issue here? Like, that sounds like
she got the hotel room, invited him over to the hotel room.
Right.
And then didn't like when he was like, that's dominant.
Yeah. It's like dominant submissive, which is what BDSM is all about.
Everybody likes that shit. But it's like, I mean, if I'm down with it, but I'm just saying, like, there's people out there that don't.
But go, hey,
so
man.
So it's like, how do you have to? I don't know. It makes things weird.
It makes things weird.
Right.
Right.
Because you're like, just because I'm acting like dominant in the bedroom doesn't mean that I'm going to abuse you tomorrow.
Yeah. And it's also, though, but there's a power dynamic.
Right.
That when you're, let's say, even if like, it's very rare that a very famous woman dates an unfamous guy. It's very rare, right? Like, they're more about the alphas.
Well,
women like to date up.
I don't know, though. Aren't there some famous women that are married to
like Julia Roberts, like dated the best grip or some shit like that?
Yeah,
I think that was about
it. Date the best grip.
Yeah, yeah. She dated a guy in fucking catering.
Yeah.
But that's the only one. It's like, but
what about men that are in high positions?
They like to date the super hot.
Right.
It's like being an attractive woman is the easiest way to move up and down the economic scales. Like, the best example is
you're not wrong.
Is what was the name of the Anna Nicole Smith?
Oh yeah, well, Anna Nicole Smith is the most extreme version. She was
literally
dead.
Like a day shift stripper, and this like billionaire rolled in, and next thing she knows, she's like a billionaire. It's like the craziest thing.
She was an icon, dude. Yeah. I watch videos of her like half asleep eating Cheetos. I'm like, go off, queen.
Yeah, she was the best. And she just took that shot and she won. But it's just interesting to me because the whole thing is a power dynamic, right? He's super famous. You're a fan. That's a power dynamic.
Right. That's true. What about the opposite situation where it's like the woman's super famous and the guy's a fan?
Does that happen? You tell me. Do you ever hook up with your fans?
No.
Yeah, right? Right?
Or never.
Right?
Never. Yeah. Yeah.
Guys will do that.
Guys will do that.
Groupies
that's
are great.
That's part of why they like doing comedy.
Well,
you know
100%.
What I mean? Like, I like to get a reaction out of the opposite sex for the superpower that I have.
100%.
Right.
And why does a woman do stand-up comedy?
Because she has daddy issues.
I hug my kids every day, all the time. I'm just like, every hug is like a little farther from the pole or the microphone. I know my one daughter's going to do stand-up. I can already tell.
Oh, dude.
We went to the recital for the first time. She stood right in the middle of the stage.
She did?
Yeah, and then she put on a big performance that she had to go potty. So she like walked out in front of everyone.
No.
Just put on, yeah, it was the best.
Did they both do ballet?
This was Christmas recitals.
Oh, Christmas recitals.
Yeah, they are the best. Yeah, it's
Christmas programs.
So
like,
basically what it is they just lip sync a song.
Yeah.
And everyone claps. It's the cutest thing you'll
That's
ever see
so
in your life.
Fun. I remember doing that as a kid. Did you have to do that as a kid?
Yeah. But this was
I hated it.
It was the best feeling ever watching your kid do it.
Well, watching your kid doing it is like magical,
yeah.
I'm sure.
It's the best. It's crazy.
That's
so that's
cute.
What I wanted to talk about today.
So do you like being a dad? Has it changed?
Oh, it's
and
the
in
best.
Like what ways has it changed you? And did you always think you were gonna be a dad?
I always wanted to be a dad.
But did you always know you wanted to be a dad? Or were there times in your life where you're like, I don't know if I'm gonna know if that's for
no,
me.
I always wanted to be a dad.
That's
from the jump. People always ask, when did you know you wanted to be a stand-up? I literally tell people, literally from the moment I realized I existed in the universe,
right.
It sounds like really dramatic, but it's the truth. Like,
right.
I wanted to do stand-up comedy before I knew there was an occupation and their name for it.
Right. I get that. I feel the same way.
I wanted to make people laugh from like very young. I took great pride. I got funniest in sixth grade.
You did?
Which was leaving elementary school. And then I'm the only person to go to high school with the sole goal of class clown.
And did you get it?
Yeah. Yeah. And to the point where they ended class clown for a couple years because they're like, no, we're just encouraging these kids to be assholes.
Not
right?
The Sam Tripoli Award.
Yeah. So they got rid of it and then they brought it back. But from the moment I was a kid, it was the reason I moved to Las Vegas because I thought it'd be a great place to start stand-up comedy.
Let's take a second from the podcast to talk about our sponsor. It's motherfucking Schedule 35. If you're like me, you like to microdose and macrodose, and there's only one brand that I trust when it comes to this, and it's Schedule 35. Head over to schedule35.co, discount code SHANK15 for 15% off psilocybin. All kinds of stuff, whether you're into chocolates or teas or capsules, there's something for you. I can't tell you how much I love them enough. All right, let's get back into the pod. Thanks. So you knew you were meant to be a stand-up, but did you know at a young age that you were meant to be a dad too?
From the jump.
That's how I feel about being a mom. But I don't think everyone has that.
Do you want to be a mom?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the best.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know Whitney just had a kid.
I know.
Which is such a beautiful thing to see.
I know.
It changes your whole view of everything. It like makes everything worthwhile. It just changes your views. Like, I was really struggling really hard with drugs, and then I had kids, and I went out, and I was getting begged to come back because I was on a run, and I came back, and I was like coming off the drug run, and I had to take care of my kids, and I was like, this is the lowest of scumbag low I could get, and I decided like they didn't ask for this, so I decided I never did drugs again after that, and that was 3 years ago. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, you change your life, and it just, growing old is great. It's like there's some things you're like, oh, the pains of this, and I'm tired a lot, but it's the best thing ever because there's no more pressure. Like literally,
yeah,
being
nice.
A dad, like I'm in pajamas right now. Like I'm walking around. I'm on a big show. I'm doing
you're
pajamas.
Like, I'm dad. Yeah, I'm a
stick,
dad.
I'm done. Stick a fork in me.
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't care. The only reason I don't want to be fat is because, again, I don't want them to have to wipe my ass. That's my whole goal in life. Is I do
you're
not.
Really, you're really anti that.
Yeah, I just do not want them to take care of me like that.
Right.
So that's like, I'm working on that. That's it. Stick a fork in me. It's done. You know, there's things in my career that I wish I were going a little different, but I don't care. I just don't care.
But don't
care.
You think everyone has that with
their
100%. Career?
Yeah, 100%.
It's like no matter what you get or what you have, you're always like, I could be this or that person is this or that whole thing.
Yeah, and it's just like at the end of the day, just all that stuff doesn't matter. Yeah. It really doesn't matter, and you don't realize that till much later.
Right.
And just having kids is just like you just have somebody outside of you to live for and to work for and help out and – you know, there's a big, not having kids movement going on the internet right now. And, you know, like, I can wake up whenever I want. And I don't have to deal with this. I don't have to deal with it. Like those people, like, when their snapshot of children is based on this very small moment. It's like you've never watched the NBA, right? And they show you highlights of NBA players, like, dribbling the ball off their foot. And that's what you think
basketball.
The NBA is about. And it's like you don't see the high-flying dunks and the three-pointers and the block shots and all the fun stuff that makes it amazing. You only see the kids crying at the restaurant. You're like, oh, thank God I don't have to deal with that.
Yeah.
But there's all the other stuff when they you bring home this meat wad. It's literally just a mound of meat.
You're calling a baby a meat wad?
It is. It's just meat. It's just meat. And then, like, every day, they you just see them start downloading new operating systems. Now they're tracking you.
That's so crazy.
So my daughter, she just, like, my first daughter, because I have twins, she came out and she was just, like, I brought her home and she would just do this thing, just. I'm like, she looked like she was, like, going down the slalom, right? Just, I'm like, what is this kid doing? And she was just, like, every day. And I go, what is this? So I turn up and go, do you want to stand? I thought part she was trying to poop herself, but she wasn't.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, do you want to stand? And she put her 2 feet on, and the biggest smile came on her face, and the whole time since the moment she's born, all she wanted to do was stand up.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, so you have this like weird moment where you're like, whoa, this thing wants to stand up.
That's so crazy.
And then when they talk and then they walk, there's like all these amazing things. And then they start like saying words you don't even know. It's the biggest blessing ever. Is there crazy times you're like, what am I doing with my life? Like, so they stay at my house now some nights, and like they don't want to go to sleep. So it's like 3 a.m. Yeah. And they're just thrashing my living room. I'm like, this is Coke energy. This is a giant Coke party. They're just wrecking a hotel room.
What are they doing?
They're just grabbing books. They're opening books. They're running around. They don't want to sleep. They're just, it's hilarious. And it's just fun. It's just blessings. And, you know,
it's like hanging out with a coked out comedian.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Have the same conversations.
Yeah, I bet.
It's the best. I love it. I'm blessed. I had it very late, so I appreciate it more. I think when you get stuff later on, you appreciate it a little more.
That's true.
They're the best, though. And now they're meeting with friends, and you take them to school, and they got their little friends. So now they're socializing.
Is it weird interacting with the other parents?
No, the other parents are great.
Okay.
It's like there is a sadness when you bring your kid to preschool for the first time.
I bet.
It's like, oh, you're leaving me already?
That is sad.
I just got you.
Oh, yeah, that
now
is.
Now you're already gone. And that you're is like, sad. Oh, now all the societal pressures happen.
Right.
And, you know, who wants to hang out with who? It's just fun. And of course, they're girls. Which is such a weird thing that people say to me, oh, yeah, that's God giving you girls for how you treat. I'm like, what does that even mean? I don't even understand what that means, dude. But they're great, dude. And having twins is chaos. Have you ever waited tables?
No. I was a hostess once at Saddle Ranch.
So having twins is like you have your entire section of your restaurant when you're waiting slammed 24/7, and it's like always. So okay, you need diaper, you need a bottle, you need this, and it never stops for all the time. It was crazy. That is crazy.
I can't even imagine being fucking pregnant with twins.
Oh, dude, yeah.
That's actually
bravo
that's
to everybody.
That's also like a fucking nightmare.
It's
for me.
Crazy though, but I'm kind of happy.
It's awesome to have to get two and
get
just get it
with,
done, and then
if
they
you
have
another
each other.
Great, yes.
Yeah.
And they love each other.
That's so cute.
They love each other. It's the best. It is
so
great.
Fucking cute.
They are great. I'm making a comic book based on them right now.
You are?
It's called The Chaos Twins. And it's like a book that gets into conspiracies and stuff like
okay,
that.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's like,
is it a kid's book or an adult book?
Well, it's a kid's book for adult. It's a kid's book that adults can enjoy as they read to their kids.
Okay. So you're writing a conspiracy book.
We're also
doing
like a multiverse too, where like them from the future comes back, and it's like
that's sick.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
That's
about
so fun.
It. It's called. If you guys want to check it out, go to chaostwins.com.
And, oh, you have it online.
Chaostwins.com. We did a big fundraiser. We wanted to get like $3,500. We ended up getting almost $35,000.
Oh shit!
So we're gonna do an animation and all that stuff. So
that's so cool.
Yeah, I'm blessed. It's fun.
Are they gonna look like? Did the twins look like your girls?
A little bit. It's like the internet's crazy, so I don't like to do too much. There's a lot of internet tough guys out there. So
there's a lot of internet tough guys out there. I see them too.
They're just annoying.
Yeah, they are.
It's lonely people.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
What else have you learned on Black YouTube?
Black YouTube. Okay, what else is there? Black YouTube's interesting. What else am I watching? I love Black YouTube. The OnlyFans thing is an interesting thing, like this phenomenon of OnlyFans and what it represents. And
OnlyFans?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I always feel that like there's like this kind of like shadow group of people that are like constantly trying to herd us into different things, you know? And like, so like way back in the day, there was MySpace.
Right.
And then like they torpedoed MySpace and up came Facebook. And then, Pornhub was really big. Pornhub was a giant CIA, honeypot thing. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, 100%.
What do you mean?
It was the quickest website to 50 million users ever on the internet. It was the quickest one. It went to 50 million in like a couple months.
So do you think the CIA is tracking people on?
100%.
Great. Now I got to get off Pornhub. That's what I'm learning. Right, I have a VPN. Does that help?
No, it doesn't help. It doesn't help. But what is it? Yeah, so, I do. It's so funny. If you look it up, it comes like, it says my name. Sam Tripoli keeps saying that, but it really is. And it tracks what you, and like, it does two things. One, you go there to just watch normal porn, and then they got this whole side thing where you're just like, oh, what is that? Next thing you know, you're into like the weirdest shit possible.
Like the pop-ups?
No, like where the suggestion bar on the side of all the pornos.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, what is that? Next thing you know, it's like all black trash. You're like, what am I doing? How did I get in this neighborhood?
Yeah.
And then, so I think that was CIA, but that's ran its course. So now I think OnlyFans took it over.
So now you think the CIA is tracking on OnlyFans?
Well, I think, yeah. I think, well, OnlyFans.
But what are they trying to find?
Well, OnlyFans is a whole thing where, because, you know, it went from like porn stars were kind of these outlaws.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, hey, the secretary has an OnlyFans. You can watch her get weird
on
it.
Yeah, so does the waitress.
Right?
Yeah.
Everyone's got an OnlyFans now. There's like 3 million content creators.
Right.
And, you know, it's this movement I see in Hollywood, which is like trying to make everything that's outlaw mainstream. But my theory is that, like, not everybody is built for the outlaw lifestyle. You know, it's like certain things you do bring certain energy. And those who do those in the past did it because they have to do it. It's the only way they could survive and make money. So they went to these guys, whether it was like dirty comedy or pornography or
music.
There's a lot of that. Well, music's interesting because there's a lot of CIA influence on that. Like,
what do you mean?
All the 60s and 70s bands were all basically CIA bands coming out of this thing called Laurel Canyon Studios.
Like Fleetwood Mac.
Like I can't go into everybody, but like the Mamas and the Papas, the Doors, the Beatles, these all have like dark and these have like secret groups behind blowing
like
them
CIA.
Up. Yeah, CIA.
Like industry plants.
Yes. There you go.
Okay.
So a great example is Charles Manson, right?
Right.
Charles Manson was basically an FBI plant because he would get arrested and he'd instantly get released over and over and over and over and over again. And what happens is that movements happen, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is they want to basically corral them and install their people into the front of the movement.
Okay.
So a great example is like feminism, right? Gloria Steinem, is that her name?
Yeah.
She was a CIA informant.
Okay.
So they insert her in to bring you to a certain way. And then like her whole movement was marriage is like prison, you're owned. And, you know, if you get married and you have kids, you're not living your best life.
So she was planted by the CIA. You don't think
that
she... The FBI.
Yes.
How do they pick who they plant?
Well, that's a great question. They're on these campuses and they hear the people saying what they want pushed. And they always starts as a movement, and then they gets corrupted and controlled by these intelligence agencies. So that's what happens. And music is just like that. Just came out that basically gangster rap was a complete and utter CIA psyop. They basically NWA was just completely it's like ice.
But what's the benefit of planting these people?
Well, they can move it. They can, even if the movement's going here, right straight, they can just kind of go, and now it just goes off a little bit, a little different direction or push it.
Like now they're doing a Christmas song with Mariah Carey.
Like, well, Mariah Carey, it's interesting. You know, I'm not saying everybody all the time, but there's a movement for certain things.
Okay.
Right? Like MTV was a giant psyop to push like this kind of like certain kind of lifestyle.
That. Spring Break, baby.
But Spring Break. And then it just got really crazy. And it was like a day in the life of a gay porn star. And you're like, who's watching this show? Who wants
me
to know?
Me when I'm 12.
Yeah.
I'm like,
right?
Wow.
Exactly. So I go and I pick a show. I pitch a show to MTV. And they go to me, how does this entertain 13-year-old girls? And I go, so everything you have on television is for 13-year-old girls? And like this was at the height of their like debauchery. I was like, oh, that's not good.
Yeah. I would just watch. My mom had to put a password on the TV because during a summer vacation and like anytime I had off, I would just sit in front of MTV for hours and hours. So then she put a password on it. We'd beg her to take off the password so we could watch Spring Break again. Then we learned the password, so it was over. So then you had to change the password.
Yeah, so it's, yeah, everything's an intelligence trick, but yeah. What's else on Black YouTube? It's mostly just making fun of feminists.
Of you watching Black YouTube.
I love it.
Really?
I love it. I watch this guy called The Poor Man's Podcast. I watch him go from 7,000 subscribers to over 750,000 subscribers.
So how do you get involved in Black YouTube? Do you just type in Black YouTube?
No, just like, I don't know, just the algorithm start
the
suggesting
algorithm
you.
Knows what you like.
Yeah, and then you have to start watching other stuff or else it'll just silo you into, like everything on Instagram to me is just buttholes and street fights.
No.
That's all I have on Instagram. That's my entire Instagram.
Mine's inspirational quotes and men with tattoos.
Oh, really? Yeah. Are you into tattoos?
Yeah.
Do you watch Ink Master?
No.
You don't watch Ink Master?
I've never watched Ink Master.
You should watch.
Is it good?
Oh, it's the great. If you love tattoos,
yeah,
it's the best show.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's 15 seasons.
Okay.
Paramount Plus.
Okay.
That you can just go through.
Okay.
And it never gets old.
It doesn't.
Oh, it's the best show ever, dude. Just you watch these people.
Are they crazy?
Oh, and they just like they got 6 hours to do a full on tattoo, and someone comes in and they get a tattoo for life, and it's like the worst tattoo. And you're like, oh, you gotta live with that for the rest of your life, and then you see the really good ones. There's this guy named DJ. I'm gonna go. He's in Vegas. I'm going to get him to do either a tattoo here or a tattoo of Godzilla because I'm a big Godzilla
you
fan.
Are?
Oh, I love Godzilla. I went and saw the new one. It's the
you
best.
You did? What other tattoos do you have?
I have First Amendment, Second Amendment. I have my recovery meeting there. That's Brody Stevens. I have this panda that shoots a gun right here because it's black and white and ends racism. I have the 1915 Armenian Genocide. Mm-hmm. I have the Armenian LA logo right here.
Okay.
I have 607. That's where I'm from.
Where is it?
That's upstate New York, Cortland.
Okay. Okay.
And then I have Ronin here and my first album, Crime Fighter, right here. That I got I had one TV show in my life and they made me get a tattoo. So that was it.
They made you do it?
Yeah. It was like it was a challenge show. Like I didn't even. So like Steve Byrne one day calls me up and he's like, hey, you want to go on this audition with me for a comedy show? I'm like, sure. He's like, yeah, they want us to do duo. So we go in there and we're just making fun of videos. And I remember Ari Shaffir said, always do something that they'll never forget.
Okay.
So I'm like, we're doing the show. I go, hey, Steve. He turns to me. He goes, well, I go, whack. And
no.
I smack the fuck
no.
I go, talk about this video while I dry hump this wall. And I just started dry humping the wall.
No.
So the whole ride home, I'm apologizing to him. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. That was the weirdest. That was the weirdest audition ever. I'm so sorry about that.
Sorry I slapped you.
So I didn't hear anything. And a week later, like, you want the show? I'm like, what? You got me? Yeah. So I get the show. And they're like, come in. We're going to tell you about the show. So I'm like, oh, we're just going to make fun of videos, right? So they're like, okay, so we're going to show you some videos. And it was kind of like reaction videos before reaction videos
right.
were big. And so we're like, okay. And they're like, and then we're gonna have you do stunts. I'm like, what? This is the stunts we're going to have you do. And I got a stunt show that I didn't even know. So I'm doing like, I'm making fun of videos, which I'm great at. And then I'm doing stunts and I'm getting hematomas.
No.
So I started at that show at like 180.
Okay.
But I would get hematomas and I couldn't move. So I ballooned up to like 210.
No, from your stunts?
Yeah, if you watch me slowly get fatter. Oh, I'm the only, yeah.
Well, what is a hema? Is that a blood clot?
That's where, like, you get a bruise, but it blood just stores, and it looks like you got a giant head coming out
no.
of it. You'll see it in, like,
how do you get rid of that?
You can go get it drained. They'll pull the drain, or you just wait time and just hope it goes down.
You had to do stunts?
Yeah, it was crazy. I'm the worst at it, too. I'm the worst at it. I'm still friends with the guys who we did the show to, but that's where I got my first tattoo, and then I've gone tattoo crazy. But I've never gotten a whole sleeve or something on my leg, so that's next.
A whole sleeve.
Then I'm going to get all my dogs.
All your dogs?
Yeah, because I lost one dog a while ago. I got one that's getting really old and super sad.
You gotta get the tattoo.
Then I got a pug.
You have a pug?
Yeah.
What's your pug's name?
Roger, he's gay as fuck.
How do you know?
Oh, dude, he does all this power bottom piggy stuff. All the grossest things. He's totally into it.
You walked in on him on Pornhub.
Yeah. He's like,
getting tracked by the CIA. Yeah,
100%. 100%. Did I talk too much?
No.
Okay. I feel like
I like that you talk a lot. It makes it easier for me.
I love that too. Just go.
Just go off.
I don't want to talk.
Yeah, go off. I got a bad tattoo one time at Skankfest. I had to cover it.
I got one. That's the Ronin I got right here at Skankfest.
I didn't like the way mine came out.
So would you get rid of it?
Yeah, it's covered. It's a butterfly now.
Oh, what was it before?
It was an 818 for Brody, but okay. It looked like two snowmen playing table tennis. Like it didn't. I'm like, I don't know how you fuck up an 818
that
badly.
Yeah, that's so weird.
It was so bad.
That's so weird. So let me see it. So let me ask you something. Could they put a color tattoo over that? Is that possible?
I don't know.
If you wanted to do like a sleeve.
Yeah, I think they could do whatever.
Because I have some weird tattoos. I'm wondering, like, I could do, like, this is supposed to be a shotgun, right? Doesn't it look like a black dick? It's like,
I see the
why
trigger.
Why do you give me the little head right there?
I see the trigger. Yeah, yeah. They could do something with that.
Yeah, so I love tattoos. But you'll love
Ink Master.
Oh, you gotta watch it. Watch it from the start. It's the best.
Do you think you're gonna be a strict dad?
I am.
You are. You know you are.
Yeah, I mean, like everybody else just kinda co-signs on kids. They just kinda let them do whatever they want. And
right.
It's a hard thing to it's a hard thing to be a parent now because my mom gives me advice all the time. I'm like, you could beat us back in the day. Like that is not allowed anymore. So you have to have real like conversations with them. Like my big thing is like teaching my daughter not to snitch.
Okay.
Cause we went to like this Santa thing and the Santa showed up with like three of these like weirdest like BDSM earrings on you. You're like, okay, on your spare time, you're into some weird shit, Santa.
The Santa has
Yeah, and he's like, sit on my lap. She's like, he doesn't have to sit on your lap. Just sit on the side there. Just take the picture, Santa.
Yeah, no.
So it's like, so she was running around. You know, they were running around. One of my kids autistic, so she just, she's great. She just nonstop wants to run everywhere. Like autistic kids just want to run to danger. They're like jackass babies. They just like, is there a stunt? Could I die? Let me try. That's what autistic kids do.
Right.
So we were running around, and outside where we were, they had a giant jumpy house. And my kids' names are Ghost and Ninja. So Ghost is the older one, and she had a lollipop in. And I'm like, you can't go in with the lollipop. You got to give me the lollipop. And so this older girl comes in. She's got a lollipop in the jumping round. My daughter's like, Daddy, she's in there with a lollipop. I'm like, come here real quick. Come here. Did she hurt you? Did she steal from you? Did she hurt somebody? Did she steal from somebody? No. Then we don't snitch. Triplies are not snitchers, okay? Especially seeing that your parents are fucking fully retarded, okay? You're going to do some weird shit, and you don't want people snitching on you, so triplies don't snitch. Do not snitch. Like, I'm trying to teach her that shit. I think snitching's way too prevalent now. I think people are way too quick to tell on people, and I'm not going to have my kids be a part of that.
Snitchers.
Yeah, there's too much snitching.
Yeah.
I know tons of stuff. I'll never tell anybody anything. I think that's the key. I keep it to myself.
Yeah, unless someone's in danger.
Unless somebody's stealing from somebody or hurting somebody. There's no snitching.
Right.
That's my whole opinion.
Right. Do you think you're going to be strict when they're teenagers?
Yeah, I mean, like, I fully know that both of their parents are crazy people. So, I mean, I'm hoping two negatives make a positive.
Right.
And that they have, you know, but, I mean, they seem pretty, like, they seem really well-behaved.
That's good.
So, we'll see. I mean, like, I really do think everybody zigs and zags.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, if your parents are super liberal, kids tend to be more conservative. If your parents are super conservative, you know,
you tend to
like listen to Slayer and smoke weed and you scream. Like all my friends growing up that had super, super conservative parents were all like smoking weed all the time, listening to Slayer.
I was smoking weed all the time.
All the time. Wearing
drinking,
flannels.
Lying. Lying all the time.
All the time.
I would lie all the time.
So you got to catch them on that stuff and instill these basics like manners. Like that's a big thing. Clean up after yourself. When you have a child, you are literally training a wild animal. These are wild animals.
They're feral.
And if you don't train them, they're never going to learn the rules of life. And they're going to end up in the prison's just a bunch of people who never got trained right. That's what it is. They didn't learn the rules of society.
That's sad when you put it like that.
It's totally sad.
They're feral.
The biggest thing I'm learning right now is how to play the game of life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Like, how do you play a game of life? Like this podcast.
Yeah.
Me and you, we're playing a game right now.
We are.
And the game is how to do the best entertaining podcast. How do you interview me? Yes, Black YouTube.
It all comes back to Black YouTube.
Everything's Black YouTube.
Everything's Black YouTube.
I love Black YouTube.
I'm going to get on Black YouTube. That's our episode.
Hey, that's a great episode.
Where can people find you? Do you have anything coming up you want to promote? It comes out on Wednesday.
Okay. Sam Tripoli. Go to samtripoli.com. I have this new show, live show that I do called The Revival, where I just do an hour of like religious and conspiracies and spirituality. Some people show up for it. Some people are like, what's going on here? But it's a lot of fun. And then I put it out on my show. I have a website called Rock. I'm on a premium content called Rockfin, RKFIN.com. It's all my premium content's there. And then if you want, I'm doing a North American tour of, I'm doing an international tour of North America. I'm going Cleveland, Pottstown, PA, and then Pittsburgh on the January 11th, 12th, and 13th. So go to samtribute.com, check it out, and then I'm at the Comedy Vault at the end of January.
Hell yeah. Thank you guys so much for watching. Kim Congdon and I are going to be at the Brea Improv December 27th. Buy tickets. Also, This Bitch and Friends, main room of the Comedy Store. It's a stacked lineup. Tickets are on my Instagram at Princess Shank. Subscribe to my Patreon, patreon.com/Sarah Weinchenk, and we'll see you next week. Bye. Hell yeah. We're done.
You guys are killing. I'm sorry.